In our last class, we started on our lesson 6, and which is the Lord's Supper. Now, we looked at some examples of how words could be used sometimes to have a special meaning or meanings different than the normal use. And so we started looking at some of the word usage. And we started in 1 Corinthians 11. We looked at 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 25, looking at this word supper. And we saw here that this word can have more than one meaning. This word supper can take on more than one meaning. Now in 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 25, I'm going to go ahead and, I don't remember if we read that or not, but I'm going to go ahead and we'll read that again and then we'll go into our lesson here. But we're still speaking of some of these verses. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 25. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in your eating each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, we see from these verses that the uses of this word, it was speaking of three different suppers here. In verse 20, it's speaking of the Lord's Supper, or referring to the Lord's Supper. Then 21 speaks of their own supper, or what they were doing instead of what they should have been doing, but it's still referring to another supper here. And then also in 25, when it says, after supper, saying, when Jesus started to institute the Lord's Supper, that supper that it was after, it was referring to the Passover. Now, so we know for certain that whatever this supper is, and what I mean by that in reference to the Lord's Supper, whatever this supper is, it is not a meal. Okay, we see that clearly in verse 34. It says that if anyone is hungry, let them eat at home. Okay, so the Lord's Supper is the memorial that the Lord established. Okay, we can see that in verse 23. Because when Paul's writing here, he said that I received from the Lord, and that which I also delivered to you. And this is from the Lord, and we know that from the accounts that we can see in the Gospels. So we see here, verse 23, that this is what the Lord has established to be in remembrance of Him. And we see that in 24 and 25 is mentioned twice in remembrance of Him, or and that him speaking says, in remembrance of me. Now this was distinguished from their own supper, because we see that in the very verses, which they were introducing in the assembly to satisfy their own hunger. And that was one of the problems that was being addressed here. But we see that in verses 21, where it says, "For in your eating each one takes his own supper." This was supposed to be the Lord's Supper, but it wasn't being accepted as that, because what they were doing, they weren't partaking of it in the way that it was established, in the way that it was meant. And then it goes on to explain that in verse 22 when it says, "What do you not have houses in which to eat and to drink?" And then, of course, what we just stated in 34, "If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home." So this Lord's Supper is the memorial of the Lord, instituted during and after the Passover Supper. Now, the Passover Supper was a Jewish memorial, and the Lord's Supper is a Christian memorial. Now, these two memorials were similar, but they're different. Now, there's they shared the same focal point. For 1,500 years, the Passover Supper looked forward to the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, and the Lord's Supper looks back to that sacrifice. Now, they're both memorials to God's people for redemption by blood. Now, Passover Supper was a memorial to Israel of their redemption from the bondage of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. And the Lord's Supper is a memorial to Christians of their redemption from the bondage of sin by the blood of the Lamb. the Lamb. That is the Lamb of God. Now, although they have some similarities, they also differ. And in the Passover Supper, the Lord's Supper, the Passover Supper was a meal, but the Lord's Supper is not a literal meal, although they share that word, supper. And that's why I wanted to do some of this word usage, to see that just because we have a common word, and as we've looked in 1 Corinthians there, within that short set of verses, we can see how that word can have more than one meaning, that supper was referring to more than one time supper. Not only was it referring to different suppers, but the difference in those suppers, because some were meals and one isn't. One's not a literal meal. Now, they also differ in the frequency of observance. The Passover Supper was a yearly supper, and the Lord's Supper is a weekly observance. And the Lord's Supper includes no reference to the national experience, but also the Passover Supper was instituted by Moses, and the Lord's Supper, of course, was instituted by the Lord. And we can see how this idea of supper can be put, we could say, the Lord's memorial. And we started out looking at this figure of speech called metonymy. And in these verses we just looked at, and specifically verses 24 and 25, said, "We do this or partake of the Lord's Supper in remembrance." And that is in memory of who He is and why He came. Now, are there any comments or thoughts or questions on this part here before we go into breaking bread? No? Okay. So, when we look at breaking bread, we're going to see here, because we want to look at the word usage again, and we're going to see this a similar idea of how terminology could be used to have different meanings. And then later on we'll see, we'll look at some of the different meanings. If you look at Genesis 3:19, I don't know if you read the verse, I put a couple verses here, and I said, what is the term bread used to mean? Now, if we look at Genesis 3:19, I know maybe I wasn't real clear on this. We just see here in 3:19 that this idea that that you will eat bread. And in Genesis 43:31, let me turn over here. and 43:31, it says, then he washed his face and came out, and he controlled himself and said, serve the meal. Okay, now there's another point I'm going to have to this in a minute, but I want to wait till after I offer the questions there for y'all to answer. And then Matthew 6:11. When they was talking about the example that Jesus was giving on how to pray, in verse 11 it says, give us this day our daily bread. So when you look at these different verses and how this word was used, now I know in verse 31 it does not use the word bread, but verse 32 does take care of that. But the idea is, what does this term bread mean? I mean, it could be some of the, it might be speaking of literal bread, because bread was, you know, a principal food. But what is being meant when that term is being used?
A meal.
Okay, a meal. So it could be for food or meal, because that's what it was saying here in back in Genesis 43 and verse 31. It says to serve the meal, but then it goes on to say that they served him by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews.
The New King James says bread.
Does it? Okay. We'll see. Thank you. Well, see, my version, it says bread for verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
And it says food in verse
2. Yeah, your NASB, it was saying on margin note.
It might have had.
Set the bread.
It probably did. 31.
No.
Oh. Bread. Mine doesn't.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it does. Sorry, wrong verse. I'm looking at 32. Okay. All right, so set on bread. Thank you. So we see the idea here that it's definitely talking about food or a meal. And so we can see that it's talking about a meal here. Now, some other verses that help show this are in Genesis. Let's look at Genesis 28:20. And now these verses, I did notice the word usage different. I'm going to read some of these from the New American Standard here. And then, well, on these both of these verses, I noticed the American Standard, King James, and the New King James worded differently than the New American Standard. So that's why I put here, if you have access to more than one version, look and see what these how these words are used in the other versions. Now in Genesis 28:20, it says, in the middle of the verse, where'd it go? Well, I just started at the beginning. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear. Now, the idea, I'm just looking at this word here, not necessarily the setting, but the American Standard translates that as food to eat. And can someone read a different version?
New King James says, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on.
Okay. So the idea of these other versions, New King James, King James, and American Standard Version, at least I know those three all-state bread. And the Americans, New American Standard has just kind of translated the idea to where it says food there.
And inside commentary says literally bread.
Bread. Okay. So we see this idea that this bread or food. Okay. So in 31:54, still in Genesis. In the middle of this verse, it says that he called these to the meal, and they ate the meal. So, and these other, I believe all these other versions use the term bread as well. So we see this idea is bread as being a meal. Now, bread was a principal food for the East, and as we can see from the passages that we looked at, it was it came to stand for food in general, or it's used in that way. Now, in Lamentations, put four different verses here, listed here, and ask the question, what can you learn about the word break or broke from these verses? And, you know, what does the word mean? So I have a, as we look at these different verses, we can see kind of an idea of how this term was used in connection with bread. Now, in Lamentations 4:4, says the little ones ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Okay? So, what could be one of the ideas here as far as breaking it? Distribution or...
A little part and pieces where they can, you know, eat it.
Okay.
Small enough, you know.
Okay.
Feed it to them.
Feed it to them? Okay. So, I'm sorry?
Serve it.
Okay. Okay. So these are all different ideas we see here. Well, they're really kind of the same idea, but different things there that this could entail. Now, in Luke 24:30, in Luke 24:30, it says, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Okay, so we see this idea of breaking and giving. In Mark 6:41, Mark 6:41, it said he blessed the food and broke the loaves and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the, well, it goes on to talk about the fish, divided up the two fish. So in Mark 6:41, we see this idea. It says broke and kept giving, set before them. So we see this the same idea over and over. We'll look at one more. And that's in Acts 27:35. It Is anybody else warm?
Yes. Yeah.
Crack one of the doors.
See.
Just wait till you come back on.
It says 64 on there.
It's not 64 on there. Guarantee you. Maybe 84.
Thermostat's having
maybe cold inside it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway. In Acts 27:35, let's turn over there. Oh, I'm sorry, we just looked at this. No, we didn't. Okay.
Sorry. Okay.
I got sad.
You got overheated.
I got overheated there. In Acts 27:35, said, having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. All of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. So we see this idea of broke it, began eating, and took food. Yes, sir?
And this thing thinking about is the kind of bread that they had. See, and we enjoyed the Lord's Supper. Well, even little bread, and unleavened bread then.
Right.
And you had to break it. Yeah, I was talking to my daughter about that because I was studying this lesson. But you can't, versus bread that we have now, I mean like sandwich or whatever.
Right.
You can't break that sandwich bread that we have now, but you have to break the bread that they use then as far as unleavened bread. I mean, you know, pastor, bread.
Okay.
Bread. You have to break it. It's going to break.
Okay. But we can see the idea it has to be something to be done, but there's still the distribution and the...
Right.
The,
I mean, and I'm saying when you're using in the Lord's Supper, obviously not all.
Right, right. And we'll get into the different, the specifics on elements in some of the other classes. But so we see this idea of the giving or the distributing, so as we can see from these verses, to break bread was to break the food off in pieces for the purpose of eating or distributing. Now, we will see that this term breaking bread, like the term supper, was used in more than one way. Let's look at Acts 2 and 4. Yeah, 2:46. Now, I put, what is this breaking bread referring to, and what in the text helps us to understand this? So let's read some of this first. We can start in verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Actually, let's start. That is what I put on the lesson, but that's good for this. Yeah, I'm just
42 has the same word, but has a different connotation.
Right, I'm gonna get to that part. I was getting ahead of myself there for a second. So in 46, what is this referring to in 46?
Common meals.
Okay.
Hospitality.
Okay, so common meal. Now, there were several things that can help us understand that in this verse. Now, one of the things I was noticed here is this verse tells us basically where, when, and what. Okay? Where can we see from this verse in 46, where was this taking place?
House to house.
Okay, so it was house to house. It wasn't in the temple. What about the when? What does it say?
Daily.
Okay, it was a. This was a day by day thing. This wasn't a first day of not on the first day of the week. And also, it explains the what. It said that they were taking their meals together. And some versions use the term. Some of y'all's version might say food or meat in place of meal. And so this shows that this verse is referring to a common meal. And then, so what about a couple of verses previous in Acts 2 and 42? Is this talking about a common meal? No? Okay. Can you think of some reasons?
Because it mentions prayer also.
It mentions what?
Prayer.
Also. Prayer? Okay.
Yeah, it's talking about spiritual things.
Okay.
The apostles' teaching.
Okay.
Fellowship.
Okay. So we see that there are other words coupled with this term, breaking bread. Now, some of the other words that we find in the text, like we mentioned, was apostles' teaching, fellowship, and also prayer. Now, these words were used in connection with what we see in verse 41. And that is, let's read verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. So, those who had received his word were baptized. Okay, and then verse 42, and they, that is the ones that received the word and were baptized, they were continually devoting themselves. Okay, or continually devoting themselves to. And that's in connection with the being saved. They were continually devoting themselves to. And then it lists the four words. So we can see that the use of this word in this verse was not a common meal, but a breaking of the bread or breaking bread that a follower of Christ would do in connection with the relationship or their relationship to God. And that's because of the other words that were used. We see that there was a special meaning or a special eating in mind, and that wasn't eating of a common meal, not a meal to fill the stomach. Yes, sir, Jim?
All of that is worship, and you can't do that unless you tell people.
Okay. So, right, but we see in these terms, all these other terms around this word had to do with worship, mm-hmm. And so we can see that would make us to understand that there was something else in place being spoken of. So, are there any other comments or thoughts? Or no? Okay. So we can see, just like the word supper, this word or group of words were used at times to have a special meaning. The term breaking bread can be used by, or came to be used by the disciples to refer to the memorial of the Lord's death, that is, the Lord's Supper. And the only way we're going to know what is being meant by the word is by context and harmony, by looking at, or doing what we've just done, looking at what is being spoken of around these words, what's in the context, and what is the meaning that is supposed to be meant. Do we have any other thoughts or comments as far as breaking bread, or before we go to this idea of communion? No? Okay. Did you have something?
No.
Okay, well, you looked up like you were about to ask a question. Point C. Communion. Now, the Lord's Supper is called the communion of the body of Christ. The word communion is used in 1 Corinthians 10:16. Let's turn over there. Now this word communion is used in 1 Corinthians 10:16. Now you won't see this if you're using a New American Standard Version. Because again, it's translated a meaning in the New American Standard Version. But in the King James Version, New King James, and American Standard, as far as I know, it's communion. Is that correct? Does anybody? Okay. So that the term communion is used in those versions. Now, what does it mean to call it communion? With whom is this communion that we're talking about? And how do we have communion? So those are some questions we're going to look at. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:16, it says, "The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And now I got that from the New King James Version. So if you're reading King James or American Standard, I'm sure it's similar. Now, I'll read what the New American Standard Version says. It says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?" And that's from the New American Standard 95 Version.
Yeah, the New King James in the margin.
Do you have a footnote?
Fellowship or sharing.
Okay. So it in your version, if it's communion, it might have a footnote for fellowship or sharing. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have a different footnote for that? Okay. For communion. And that was New King James or New King?
New King James. Okay.
ASB says participation in the footnote.
Participation? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we see this idea, this participation or the sharing, which is also the term or what was used, communion. So with whom is our communion? Okay. So verse 16, it says, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Okay, so this communion is with Christ. Now, how do we have communion? We can look at, we can turn over to chapter 11 if you're still in 1 Corinthians 11:26. First Corinthians 11:26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So that's how we have this communion. By participating in this, we're proclaiming this. Now, we need to keep in mind that we're not obtaining forgiveness by this partaking. Okay, that's not what the thought in mind is. Now, I know some believe or practice in that way, but as we're partaking of these elements, that we're not obtaining forgiveness by partaking of these elements. What we're doing is what it said in the verses. We're to remember. And we're remembering the forgiveness that we have because of the blood of the covenant, which was mentioned, we read in Matthew 26:26. And this covenant that was ratified by His blood, or His death, as we looked at in an earlier class, that's this idea of that term blood having to do with death. So this covenant was ratified by His death. Were there any comments or thoughts? Yes, sir.
Craig, your point about the communion. Who is it? Who are we having communion with? You mentioned about Christ. I think some other stuff in the context kind of adds, supports that. You go to verse 14 in 1 Corinthians 10 and 14. The subject here has to do with idolatry. It says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. So, you know, there's a sense of this is something between the believer and God. And then go down to verse 21. He says, getting back to idolatry also, he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of the demons. So just a lot of points to reinforce that it is a vertical communion, sharing.
Right. Right, because by us partaking in certain things, I mean, it does say something. Is that what you mean as far as... So it is a vertical, but it's also a horizontal. In a sense, is that what you mean?
No, I'm saying it's vertical.
Oh, okay.
Because,
but I mean, there is a sense of a horizontal also, though, as we, because when we do this, that's exactly, of course, most important. That's what we're saying when we partake to God. We're saying, I believe, but that's also what we're saying to one another, and that's this idea. At least what I think of when you're talking about in. Being the sharer of demons and the sharer of the Lord, because that's when it goes down and started talking about the conscience and the conscience of the other because of what they're seeing us do. But good point. So this we see this idea of when we're partaking, we're proclaiming without a doubt that we believe. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Point two, the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Now, as we looked at, or as we can see, the power is not in the elements of themselves. The power has to do in the remembrance. We just looked at, we see that this is a sharing with Christ, and we also saw in 1 Corinthians 11 that we proclaim the Lord's death as often as we partake. Now, I put down some verses here for us to read. We'll go ahead and read these. I don't know if you read them or not. Let's look at Matthew 26:26. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when they had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Now, and these are just the different accounts. We're going to look at them. Mark 14:22. Mark 14:22, it says, while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, and said, take it, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And then Luke 22:19. Luke 22:19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way he took the cup, and they had eaten, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." And we'll look at one more. That's in 1 Corinthians 11:23. Well, I've noted 23 and 24, and we've actually already looked at this in class. But "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So I ask the question, does these verses refer to when the Lord instituted this supper? Do all the verses say, "Do this in remembrance of me"?
No.
Okay. No. We see this in Luke 22:19 and also in 1 Corinthians 11:23-24. Now, is that different in any of the other versions? Okay, because as far as I know, it was just noted in those two verses. But however, of course, this is implied by the other verses by what is being spoken of. I think we're going to go ahead and stop right here. We're going to stop right here because it looks like the buzzer's about to buzz us. And I will, we'll finish up this in our next class, and I'll bring some more lessons. Thank you for y'all's attention.